Hello, everyone. My name is Melissa Riley, and I am the owner principal of Native Community Development Associates, located at Laguna Pueblo and a second office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are a small business, Native-owned business, and we provide a variety of services to tribal communities, state and federal governments, and other organizations. So today we are going to be having our first talk interview with some helping professionals out serving Indian country and other minority communities here in the state of New Mexico and beyond. And our first interview of this series of events is with Diana Abeda. She is from the Office of Community Health Workers at the New Mexico Department of Health. So I'd like to welcome her. She does some very important work, not just with our tribal communities, but throughout the state of New Mexico. She serves in the capacity of really building relationships, and that's where I've really come to know Diana the last several years. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and ask Diana to introduce herself, if she could tell us some more information about her department and anything else she wants to share with us this morning.
Good morning, Melissa. As Melissa said, I'm Diana Abeda, and I work with the New Mexico Department of Health, Office of Community Health Workers, and our office is under the Public Health Division. I am based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I've been with the Department of Health for 10 years now. And I started out with Department of Health working with the county and tribal health councils in New Mexico. It was a region area that I covered, which was 9 counties and 3 tribes. So it's been very exciting, very challenging to work with the state. And, of course, you know, it's ever-changing.
All right. Well, thank you, Diana. So what I'd like for you to do is describe for our audience who community health workers are, community health representatives or promotoras here in New Mexico.
Okay, Melissa, thank you. Good question. Who are community health workers? Well, I think that each community within New Mexico being very diverse kind of refers to them possibly in different ways, but for the sake of the state, Department of Health, we're kind of categorizing them as community health workers, which is not a new term, and it's not unknown nationwide and worldwide. Community health worker, or a promotora, which is a term for a female promoter in the Hispanic communities. And then we have the tribal CHRs, which are tribal community health representatives. So those are the three standard names here in New Mexico. And there are other names that people go by, which really kind of fall under that umbrella of a community health worker, but they don't necessarily say, I'm a community health worker. Some of them could be like a community connector, an advocator, somebody who advocates. It could be possibly a health educator, patient navigator. There's quite a few names. I think the Federal Department of Labor recognizes somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 different names that fall under community health worker because their work is parallel. It's pretty similar. So going back to your question, Melissa, about who are they, the majority of the community health workers work in the communities where they live, where they're from. It's not always the case, but I'd say probably, you know, 8 out of 10 do live do work where they live. And these people are very unique because they really have, you know, taken kind of their community under their wing. They really care about the people within their community, and they want to see their community as well as the individuals within that community healthy. And that could mean a variety of things. It could be healthy from, you know, maybe the schools not serving sodas or serving healthy foods. It could be the housing developments within the community are smoke-free. it's just a lot of different things that they do. I'll name a few of the things that are more health-related. There's clinical support skills that they provide. So it would be a community health worker going out into a community, into someone's home, and providing, so to speak, health screenings, like checking a person's blood pressure. If they're a diabetic, it would be checking to see that they're using their glucometer correctly, that they know how to interpret the test strips when they take those tests, educating them about the disease itself, and you know where are the danger zones and things of that nature. It could also be educating a person about nutrition, possibly obesity, and it's endless, really. To put it in a nutshell is a little bit difficult, so I just think it just goes on and on. But really, they're, like I said, they're a unique set of individuals, mainly women, and I do give kudos to the men out there who have come forward to really take on this role as well. But again, they just do an array of things. It's endless.
All right. So it sounds like the community health workers or the CHRs, promotoras here in New Mexico and possibly beyond have some really specialized skill sets serving those populations that you just described. Are there any other areas that promotoras work in, you know, aside from going out into the communities? Do they have a hand in working with health clinics or, you know, I'm just trying to really get a better understanding, especially for our audience, about the different agencies or the different settings that we would find a community health worker.
Oh, you bet. They work in the clinics. They work in the hospitals. We've encountered them in school settings. A lot of them that I've had the pleasure of meeting recently, a group of them are in the hospital settings and providing language interpretation for the Native American population. Mm-hmm. So you have an individual who comes in, maybe an elder, who does not speak English, and therefore the CHR, community health worker, is there to interpret what the nurses or the doctors or the receptionist are telling them, so they have a better understanding of that whole experience at the hospital mm-hmm. or the clinic.
Okay. Kind of a little funny story or that I had encountered in, you know, talking to other people about CHRs in the community is oftentimes this misconception that they just drive around or they, you know, they're just hauling patients or individuals, you know, here and there. And that's not necessarily so. I think in the past, Diana, you've even mentioned where they're critical in making sure that services are connected or that the patients or clients have their prescriptions and so forth. So, you know, just a little bit of humor, but also some misconceptions, I think, that CHWs or CHRs have to fight on their own.
Exactly. And I'd like to just add to that when it just sort of makes me smile and giggle when you say that, you know, you heard somebody comment that they're driving around. Well, they probably were driving around. In the fact that I'm going to use Navajo Nation as an example, they're the biggest reservation in the whole United States. And it's challenging. You have a CHR maybe based in a city community such as Gallup, New Mexico. That individual may have to drive out 50, 70 miles to one resident, or one residence, excuse me, and able to you know, better understand the needs of that individual. You may find that it's an elder. Firewood is the only way that they're able to cook and heat their home. So the CHR is going to be out there hauling water, cutting firewood, meeting those basic needs that a lot of us take for granted. And in order to, you know, the way I kind of look at it is if you don't have the basic needs being met, then you're really not going to care about a disease that you have because you're worried about your next meal or how are you going to keep your home warm when it's minus 20 outside. So it's things like that that, again, that make them very unique, because they really do have the concern and the care for the people within their community in order to, you know, because it takes a lot for a woman to go out there and start cutting wood in the middle of the winter and hauling water, you know, in order for that individual just basically to survive. And it's those basic needs, again, that they really want to make sure that they're being met in order to better serve them. And then once those basic needs are met, then they are able to talk and find out what their health needs are, and if there's, you know, understanding their medication, and, you know, when's their next visit to the doctor, and are they understanding, you know, when they need refills on their medication or things of that nature.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about something very unique that's happening here in the state of New Mexico regarding community health worker certification. I know you were active and instrumental, along with your with previous community health worker employees at the Department of Health, and getting the certification process going. Can you describe for us at least the background of that certification effort?
Sure. I will say it wasn't without shedding tears. You know, people think about legislation and passing legislation and things of that nature, and they're, you know, sometimes don't have a clue what it's about, and, you know, and I'm sure those who are very experienced don't have much trouble. But a couple years ago, we had a Senate bill, which was Senate Bill 58, that was carried by a community health worker champion out of the South. It was Senator Mary Kay Papin. And she was very gracious to carry the legislation and really get that ball moving with the bill. And so it went through several committees. And, of course, at the end, when it was all said and done, Governor Martinez was able to sign it in March of 2015. So then we had certification in New Mexico. It took years prior to that to convince people, sometimes some of the people within Department of Health, that it was very was a very important program. And New Mexico had been already researching that, and there was a group of people who, you know, prior to the bill, were already looking at, you know, a competency-based training and getting some sort of certification put into place, and, you know, all those kinds of things. And under our Secretary of Health, Dr. Alfredo Vigil, he had the foresight and was able to really respect and understand and appreciate the community health worker workforce. So somewhere around 2008-09, he told our prior director and bureau chief, Christina Carrillo, create the Office of Community Health Workers, get it going. And so at the time I was working with health councils, and she brought me over to the Office of Community Health Workers because the health council funding had been eliminated or suspended at that time. And so when I came from one building to the other, it was funny and it was sort of strange at the same time, because we didn't have, you know, we had a program by name, but we didn't have funding. You know, we didn't have anything. And so we were there like, okay, what do we do now? And so we were trying to get memorials passed to put our office in state statute and just all different kinds of things around legislation. And then, like I said, in 2015, it happened. And I kind of laugh about it, because I think, you know, you always have to be careful what you wish for. And so the Senate bill was not attached to any kind of appropriation. So after we got the bill passed, we sort of looked at each other and we said, oh, wow, now how do we do this work without funding? Mm-hmm. So Susana Martinez was able to earmark some funding that went to our office in order for us to get the ball rolling and get the certification off the ground.
Oh, Wonderful. Such an important effort, especially for, you know, the state of New Mexico, which is considered a frontier state. Mm-hmm. Can you describe for our audience the certification process?
Yes, I can. First of all, Melissa, if you don't mind, I'd like to just backtrack just a little bit about the core competency curriculum. We had started that back several years ago, and for the listening audience, I would just like to say that Melissa here was very instrumental in developing and writing the curriculum for us based on a lot of information that we gathered from other states, from stakeholders within the state of New Mexico. We gathered that information and determined, based on the diversity within New Mexico and the different cultures, we had to come up with something that we felt was appropriate for New Mexico. So with Melissa's expertise, we were able to get that done, and we did have some help from other, as I mentioned, stakeholders within New Mexico who really saw the value of the workforce. So once we got that curriculum, you know, in the works and did piloting of the different competencies and modules and gathered the information from all the different communities, you know, we have the final product, again, thanks to you and all your hard work that you've put in it for several years now with us. It's been, like I said, it's been an effort that wasn't without shedding some tears and having challenges and hoops to jump through and, you know, so on and so forth. But so now the community health workers can get trained through a standard format, whereas before, community health workers in New Mexico, some were trained through Indian Health Service, like with the CHRs. That's pretty much the route that they went through. A lot of the others have taken like specialty trainings here and there throughout their career, but not anything that was considered a competency-based type of training. And so, Melissa, could you just go back and repeat the question again? I think I'm getting a little off track.
No, that's no problem. But the question was if you could describe the certification process.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I was too busy giving you some of the history.
Thank you.
It's just that there's so much to talk about with this program and all the people who have been involved and all the years that have, you know, have come and gone, and I could just go on and on and on forever about it. So the certification process and what's that like? So right now we are certifying community health workers through a grandfathering process. And that grandfathering process works like this. They have to have at least 2,000 hours of experience, hands-on work experience, which that sounds like a lot of hours, a lot of work, but really it equals 1 year and 2 weeks of full-time work. And that could be paid work, or it could be volunteer work, or it could be a combination of both. So that's one of the requirements. The other requirement is that this work had to be done prior to May 21st of 2014, I believe. And so if they've done those 2,000 hours prior to that date, then they're able to get grandfathered in. And there is no deadline. So if we have people coming forward next year, 5 years down the road, that say, I want to be certified through grandfathering, then it's up to us to provide that information for them and the application. And if they qualify, then they get in as being grandfathered. And this coming fall, in September, or actually later this month in October, I mean, excuse me, in August, the year's going by fast enough and I'm talking October. Okay, so either later this month or starting next month, we're going to be rolling out probably 2 to 3 different cohorts of trainings going on throughout the state. One for sure in the southern part of the state. We already have a group of trainers there. We've got a group of individuals who are really excited. They want to become community health workers. They care about their community.
All right. So certification, may seem like it's a daunting task, especially if it's not so much required to do the actual work in any one of the communities. But I think that there are a lot of benefits to this as mm-hmm. far as increasing the professional status of community health workers, community health representatives, promotoras here in New Mexico. But I know that you know firsthand what some additional benefits to certification are. So if you could kind of just explain or describe that for our audience, because I really want those that are listening to take into consideration what the certification process could mean for them and their communities, or for those that they know are working in their communities in this capacity.
Thank you, Melissa. I've heard firsthand from those who have been certified already that they're held in higher regard within their teams at work, whether it be in a clinic, a hospital, or a community program. A lot of times in the past, they felt that they were sort of the unseen and unheard worker. They were there, but they were never included in on staff meetings with the whole, you know, hospital or clinic setting. They were always left out. They sort of felt that they were just not appreciated. So I'm hearing that they're gaining the respect that we believe they deserve. They're being acknowledged. They're being included in meetings. As a matter of fact, there's a clinic in the Santa Fe area where there's, I believe, 13 or 15 community health workers in that clinic setting, and all of them are certified, with the exception of a couple of new ones to the group, and they've all gotten raises as a result of being certified. And again, they just feel that their status has been elevated. I think, you know, not only is it just sort of peer-to-peer recognition, elevation of the workforce, but it's also that self-esteem, knowing that your work has been recognized and that you're certified by the state of New Mexico. And I do want to mention, Melissa, which I failed to do earlier, is that the certification here in New Mexico is voluntary. We at the state cannot mandate you getting certified. However, if your supervisor, you know, mandates it, then you have to comply, obviously, to keep your position. But you know, in New Mexico, we wanted it voluntary. We didn't want to force anybody into the certification process.
All right. I mean, that's fair enough. I mean, I really do believe in the certification efforts that have made their way here in the state of New Mexico, and see the great need that is there, but also mm-hmm. the benefits that the community has received as a result of the good work that community health workers or community health representatives have provided to our many communities. So that's great to hear. What are the requirements? So let's say an individual applies for certification and they're either grandfathered in, or they have to go through the 10 competency training successfully. What are some things that they have to do to continue with that certification? What are the requirements that your office has for them?
Their certification is valid for a 2-year period from the date they get certified. So they have 2 years to obtain continuing education credits or units. And that number is 30. So they can self-select 10 CEUs, continuing education units, and then 20 have to be from a Department of Health approved CEU provider. And then, of course, when the community health workers go through being certified and they submit their application, they also have to go through a background check and they have to get fingerprinted. So if, you know, hopefully this would never happen, but if something as far as, you know, them being on the wrong side of the law and something were to come up, then that could be a possible reason for pulling their certification.
Okay. So some really somewhat intense, you know, requirements, but I think that that really lends weight to the professionalism of the field and how it's continuously growing, and that just like with any social worker, behavioral health provider, or law enforcement, you know, they need that certification and they need to go through those proper background checks to ensure and reaffirm that, you know, they do have they are safe individuals and, you know, they've been checked out thoroughly.
Exactly.
They're good people to be around. So, because this is what I would see as so new to the state of New Mexico, it's still getting that momentum. What are some successes that you could share about this certification effort?
Well, let me think. I just think it's kind of going back to what I said earlier. Just the success that I think that all the stakeholders within New Mexico and even some of the other states, surrounding states near us, you know, we've all sort of band together to have one common goal, and that is to really get the acknowledgement out there for the workforce, get community health workers literally on the map, you know, what they do, why they do it, why they're so important. Everybody needs a community health worker. Every community should have one. And I think with looking back, you know, it's not so much, you know, our success at Department of Health. I think it's the success of the profession and the success within each and every community by being served by a community health worker or a CHR. That's where the success lies, because if you can bring together people, get them to understand that, you know, healthy communities, healthy eating, and healthy lifestyles lend itself for longer lives, healthier lives, more productive lives. That's where I think the gain is. And so again, being that, you know, all the people who are interested in the workforce and have come together, you know, we've established the core competencies. We have a rule and regulation. You know, the Senate bill gave us the reason to have a rule and regulation by it being passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. So with all those things, it's just been, you know, a total win-win situation. And I might add that the community health worker, CHR, promotor, really do help in preventative care. And there's been a research that has shown that they have reduced health disparities, that they've saved institutions money, because if they're providing preventative care and preventative education, people aren't waiting to end up in the emergency room. Instead, they're there being able to make an educated, maybe an educated guess or decision regarding the health of themselves, their family, and the community.
All right. So in this process, you had mentioned that the certification, you've mentioned some upcoming training, late August, September. So what are the next steps after getting this training off the ground? What are some plans that the Office of Community Health Workers might be pursuing?
Well, right now we have four people on our staff. And our director is Carol Hansen, and we've got a person in the southern part of the state, and then another person located in Albuquerque who's our training coordinator. And so what we've thought about doing is really getting ourselves into the school systems and getting the young kids, high school age, to understand that they could choose this as a career path. They could also choose this as a stepping stone to go on to other professions. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a health profession. It, you know, it could be anything, social work, and it could be nursing, it could be physical therapy, medical school. It could be anything like that. But again, too, it could be maybe on the other end, you know, sociology, psychology majors and things like that. So I think that that's very important to recognize. And going back to kind of our plans, we'd like to really see some of the high school students possibly taking our core competency training maybe the last year of school. Some students go to school only half a day. We may be able to recruit that target audience to be able to get that training under their belt. Then when they graduate from high school, they can take their field work, do their field work with an assigned agency and or a chosen agency, and then they're able to go out and start their work, start working, and really start putting their feet to the ground in those communities where they live and work. And another thing that we will be building on is the way the bill, or not the bill, I'm sorry, the rule and regulation was written for our office and for the whole community health worker initiative in New Mexico, is that you can get certified as a generalist. Then if you've got any sort of specialty training, you could get certified as a specialist 1, specialist 2, or specialist 3. So we want to be able to really build those specialty areas of training. So right now, Department of Health has a asthma track and an oral health track. So we want people to get certified as a generalist. And if they choose to, say maybe you've got somebody who has a child with asthma or a parent or someone like that, and they in turn want to learn more about it, so that community health worker would in turn take the asthma training as a specialty track or specialty area for them. So they would get certified as a specialist 1. So right now, out here in the state of New Mexico, we already have a lot of the community health workers, CHRs and promotores, who are specialized in a lot of areas. It's just that it hadn't been recognized before, formally recognized. So now with the state recognizing this and certifying in that way, they can get up to 3 specialty tracks and be a specialist 3 and get recognized as that. Some may have more. They may have 5, 6, 7 different areas they specialize in, but with the state, we're recognizing 3 or more as the maximum.
Okay, great. So along with those competencies, you know, or with the training, can you share with us the topics or the competency topics that will be covered for an individual who's going through the certification training?
Sure. Core competency 1 is the community health worker profession. And, you know, I know it sounds maybe kind of odd for people to say, wow, why are community health workers wanting to learn about community health workers, or why is that a requirement? But there's a lot of history that goes on with the community health worker profession. Some of it dates back to 1968 with Indian Health Service, and that was a congressional effort that got the community health representatives recognized as a working profession. So number 2 is the effective communication skills. 3 is interpersonal skills. Number 4 is health coaching. 5 is service coordination. 6 is capacity building. 7 is advocacy skills. 8 is technical teaching skills. 9 is community health outreach. And 10 is community knowledge and assessment. And we do have an 11th core competency, which is called clinical support skills. And when we were bringing the stakeholders and community health workers to the table, we were trying to determine, is number 11, should it be required for certification? I personally was very, very interested in seeing 11 getting in on the 10 so that it would be required. But I lost. I had to realize that some of the community health workers don't really do clinical support skills. They don't take blood pressure and do those kinds of things. Instead, they're providing, you know, maybe education or
providing services around social systems of care. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be linked directly to health.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing with us those competency topics. I think it's really, really important, especially in naming off the ones that you did, is that, you know, from the perspective of someone who's not out doing the field work in community health per se, I know that the soft skills and the hard skills are being learned through the competency training. And also, too, you know, I think it's also really important, just based on what you were mentioning, we also need to really develop the workforce to be able to go out and even train the communities in preventive care and not just intervention. And I see a lot of that happening in this curriculum. Some of the topics, you know, there's different authors in here, but they've really had a good contribution as far as some skills, some methods for community health workers to really build up and increase their public presentation skills and working with others and so forth. So I just really appreciate everything, Diana, that you've done, the office has done, to really build up the professional light of the work that community health workers perform on a day-to-day basis, because it really is an unspoken profession that really keeps everybody going, moving health-wise, collaboration-wise, and so forth. So really important work. And while you were describing for us or telling us about some of the competency topics, I pulled up the New Mexico Department of Health Office of Community Health Worker page. So for those of you that want more information about the good work that's happening with the Office of Community Health Workers, you can visit their page at nmhealth.org. And that will give you some really good information and some links, and also give you some insight about what that certification application looks like and the information that you'll need to begin this process. So with that being said, I'd like to thank Diana for being here with me today and giving us some information, much needed information, about community health workers. And for more information, visit their website. And thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.